Last summer, I and my wife, we were in Wittenberg in Germany. And for the persons who are very well with their church history, Wittenberg is the place where Luther, Martin Luther, the Reformator, lived and worked. It's a nice town, beautiful surroundings. But what's more significant of the place is what happened there. Luther saw that things in church are doing and were on the wrong way. And he realized that things are not happening as the scriptures said it should be. And he, one day in 1517, nailed 95 theses on the church, the Swiss church, the Catholic church in Wittenberg. And what Martin Luther did reached all the way to Rome. And the church leaders in Rome decided to excommunicate him before his death. And then he said something during the trial that is very significant. What did Martin Luther say in words? He said to the judges, "Unless I'm convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything what Martin Luther has written, since it neither saves nor right to go to against conscience. May God help me." What did Martin Luther in short say? "I must preach the word." In the Bible, in the New Testament, the apostles were indwelt with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2. And they went out and proclaimed the name of Jesus. They healed the sick, they helped the poor, and they taught about the love of Christ. And they were arrested because the scribes did not like what they were saying, and they were doing, Acts chapter 4. And Peter and John, after they healed the man, they were arrested. And the scribes told those two apostles, "You stop to stop preaching about Jesus." And what did those two apostles do? Acts 4 verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak or nor to teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Verse 20. "For we cannot but speak of the things we have seen and the things we have heard." In other words, what did they say to the scribes? "We must preach the word." Paul said to the young Timothy that he felt a charge upon him. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." He felt a charge. He felt a necessity. He felt an urgency. He knew he must do something. He knew it was the commandment of Jesus, the Lord of hosts. And that's why he said to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, where Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, the good news of the coming kingdom of Christ, I have nothing to glory of." For necessity, for an urge, for a charge is laid upon me. Yes, woe is unto me if I not preach, what? The gospel. He preached not for his own reasons, to exalt himself, to put himself on a pedestal. No, there is only one that needs to be glorified, one that needs to be praised, and of him Paul did preach the word. And now we live in the year 2012. Martin Luther discovered that he must preach the word even he was put out of church. The apostles preached the word even though they were could be sent to preach to prison. Paul knew he was charged, he was commended, he felt the need to preach about Christ. So what about us? In a children's story, Peter was impressed to testify about Jesus. Do we see the need to preach, to teach, to proclaim, to go out and preach the word? Do we know it is about high time we tell other people about the love of Christ? Just now we sang the wonderful spiritual, "Give Me Jesus." Jesus as the central focal point of our lives. As Hebrews says, Jesus the author and finisher of our faith. In the morning, when we rise, what do we want? Jesus. In the midst of our problems and despair, what do we need? Jesus. Even at the moment that we dare to have our last breath on this planet, what do we need? Jesus. Jesus is our all. Jesus is our everything. He gives our life meaning, purpose, joy, true love, everlasting. Do we realize that as we walk in this world, that we can say to other people, you may have all of this world, but give me Jesus. We all know the story about the prophet Jonah. You know the prophet with the big fish? The prophet who was not willing to go to Nineveh and to proclaim the word of the Lord. He went all the way. But the Lord gave him clear charges, clear necessity, what Jonah needed to do. Jonah chapter 1. Arise, the Lord said to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For the wickedness is come before me. Just look outside the window and what kind of wickedness we see in the world right now. And then later, when Jonah was out of the belly of the fish, and again the Lord spake in chapter 3, verse 2, again to Jonah, again giving him a charge. Jonah 3, verse 2. He said to Jonah, arise, go again unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee. Notice the words of Jonah himself, the words that the Lord bid Jonah to do. The message that we got from the Lord is not only for the happy few in the church. Oh no, God forbid, it's for everybody. Everybody needs to get a chance to make a clear-cut decision for or against Christ. The Lord really knows about wickedness in high places right now all around us, and we should tell the people that there is a choice, there is an escape, there is hope. And what kind of message do we give to the world? That's what the Lord preaches us to be to them. What happens with us personally? What happens with us when we see the cross of Calvary? When we see our Savior hanging upon the cross for our sins, for our shortcomings, for our faults, for an escape for our sinful nature. Do we look at the cross and are we unmoved, unstirred, unconvinced? The prophet Isaiah, he saw the troubles of God in the vision, Isaiah 6. He saw the troubles of God. He saw the unrighteousness of his people in Israel. He sees the unrighteousness of himself. And the only thing he can say is, woe unto me. And then, when the Lord asked him what to do, who shall I go? Send me. Send me. And what was the message that God gave Isaiah? Preach the word. It's simple as that. Are we convinced? Are we stirred? Are we moved to tell the world that what the world needs to hear? When those disciples, those people walked away to Emmaus, Luke 24, and they were desperate and crying and weeping and about all the things happened with Jesus. They didn't know that Jesus was walking with them and was teaching them from the scriptures all that Jesus had with him. And they were not moved. The scriptures were opened and they were not moved. Until later when they broke the bread and prayed together, then finally those two men realized that Jesus was with them. And they say, weren't our hearts stirred when Jesus opened the scriptures with us? I know from the story of a young person who said, if you go to church, imagine if your heart is like a meter, like a thermostat. How high does the meter get? Is it freezing in your heart while you're singing songs? While you're reading the word? Or is it like tropical hot inside? I am finally here with my brother and sister to open up the word and to learn more about the one who saved me from death. How is it with us? In our prayer, and in our prayer in the morning and in the evening, give me Jesus. There is an adoption saying that what you love, you speak about a lot. It's our main topic in our conversation, the love of Christ. It is the first thing that comes to my mind and our mind when we talk to our fellow brothers and sisters. You know what happened last week? Jesus was in my life and he helped me from my family. It's just conversation. I've got a new house because Jesus gave me the ability to buy a new house. What is our main topic of conversation? What do we preach about? Because if you discover that all what we have, all that we receive is a blessing from the Lord Almighty, then you sing, you shout, you proclaim Jesus. It's the word. So, what message do we need to give this day and age? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read what's going to happen in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says in verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and so on. A lot of terrible things, wickedness in high places. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such Paul said, turn away. He knew that things are going to be very difficult in the time we are living right now. But do we only need to listen to people who are lovers of themselves and proud and boastful and so on? Or do people got the ability to hear wholesome truth? They will they hear from people who did not depart from the will of God? Paul knew that a word of truth, a word of righteousness, should be preached. Wholesome, right, without reservation. And that's why he simply said in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, preach the word. In the Amplified Bible, in verse 2, it's been expanded more. I give you like a more clarification of how great and important this verse is. Follow with me. Herald and preach the word, brothers and sisters. Keep a sense of urgency. Urgency. Stand by, be at hand, and be ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, or it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it's welcome and accepted or not welcome. We as the preachers of the Word of God are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them of rebuking and correcting, warning and urging, and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. The message, brothers and sisters, we are to give is not a comfortable one. If man cherish sin, it's hard for them to choose another way. Last week I watched a program of Supernanny. I don't know if you know the program, but it's about a nanny who goes to a house where the parents have trouble helping their children living correctly. And in one instance, there was a girl, and the girl was kicking, screaming, shouting, yelling, protesting, biting, slapping the parents. And then the nanny came and she introduced another way. You should listen to your parents. You should do what your parents say. And what happened? Do you think that the little girl started to mince immediately? She started to scream more, kick more. Why? Because she cherished something that you need to give up. If we go out and we preach the everlasting word of the Lord, people might scream, yell, shout, and do things more badly in the first instance. Why? Because they are confronted with truth. Should we then change our message? No way. Because it's truth. So, what kind of uncomfortable things we are going to tell this world? Listen to what Sister White said in Manuscript 49, and she wrote this in 1898. And if you want to remember one thing about the sermon, remember the next sentence. Hanging upon the cross, Christ was the gospel. This is our message, our argument, our doctrine, our warning to the impotent, our encouragement for the sorrowing, the hope for every believer. If we can awaken an interest in the men's minds, that will cause them to fix their eyes on Christ, so that we might set aside and ask them only to continue to fix their eyes upon the Lamb of God. That is a pretty uncomfortable message for the world, but it's a message for the world they need to hear. What did Jesus preach? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Preaching the gospel to the message that people don't know how the wealth we possess. We have a wisdom, and a wisdom in Christ. And a lot of people still don't have this opportunity, as Christ came to preach the gospel to the poor. Verse 19. So that they may hear the acceptable year of our Lord. Preach the good news. If it doesn't fry, you're spiritually poor. And you're blessed when you hear the message. And that's why Paul says in Romans 10, verse 13, the following. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call upon Him in whom they not believe? And how shall they believe in whom they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach without a preacher being sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the gospel of peace and bring them tidings of good things. Just look outside for one instant. Are we, as a church, as a fellowship, bringing the people outside glad tidings of joy? There is a terrible, terrible crime going on right now. Just imagine all those people sitting in a tram, driving outside of the car, going to the supermarket on the end of the street, and didn't have the ability to make an informed decision. Because we as a church, assembly as it is, forgot to show, tell, proclaim, and preach the word in our lives. Imagine the church bell of this church ringing for every person that died and didn't know Christ. It's a crime. It's a terrible. Shouldn't we stop this atrocity? During my vacation, I was also at the General Youth Conference, the GYC, in Europe, where youngsters of 46 countries came together in Austria to teach and learn about how to proclaim the gospel. And before the morning devotion, I talked with a good evangelistic friend of mine. He's also a preacher. He lives in Vienna. And I was telling him about that I have problems in sharing the message. You have to know I'm praying a lot, just like Peter. Can I meet people how to share the gospel with? But you also have to know, when I go into a train, what is the first thing the driver does? He's looking to the compartment and looking for empty seats. I'm going to sit at the empty seat. And then in my imagination, hoping that someone will come to me and I can share the gospel with. And this friend of mine said to me, Riley, wake up, you're doing something wrong. When you go into the train, look for the place where people sit. Because then the Lord can send the peace to you and you can preach the word. And then I realized, Riley, you're doing something wrong. Don't hinder the Spirit, but make Him accessible that He can preach through you. Christ gave us as believers, as lovers of Christ, who are saying, give me Jesus when I rise, give me Jesus when I lay down, give me Jesus in the midst of problems. We who believe Him, He says to us in Mark 16, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every believer. Because he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We ought to be active so that the Lord might save the lost. Listen to the following words of Sister Wright in Acts of the Apostles, page 332. Acts of the Apostles. Jesus said, all things are for your sakes, that he be the abundant grace might through the transgression of many rebound to the glory of God. We are preaching the word, not for self-aggrandizement, did the apostle preach the gospel. It was the hope of saving souls that led them to devote their lives to this word. And it was to this hope that they kept them from ceasing their efforts because of the threatened danger or the actual suffering. The apostles realized that they are not preaching the word saying, look at me, I'm preaching the word. They did it because they knew how terrible it was if people cannot make a clear cut decision for Christ. Doesn't matter if I go into problems, doesn't matter if I lose my job, as long as people hear the word. So, our message is simple, our goals are simple, preach the words of Christ. But we know that if we go out and preach, not everybody accepts the truth as laid down in Scripture. And Paul had to deal with that problem also in the Church of Corinth. We read the following in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we read with you from verse 21. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the world, our preaching is foolishness. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach, what do we preach? Christ crucified. Unto a Jew, a stumbling block, unto a Greek, foolishness, but we, unto them which we are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The world doesn't understand our preaching. The world doesn't understand. But if we are being used by the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit touches the person we're preaching to, things can happen. So it's not our success. Because if we see evangelizing and going out and preaching and teaching as our personal success, we're destined to fall. We are destined to be discouraged if our preaching does not bring success. And you know what happens with people who tend to get discouraged in how to preach the word? And I know some good pastor friends of mine who were so discouraged in preaching the word, and that it didn't bring success. The mother of the pastor's friend of mine started to do, started to twist the word to fit the fancy of men. Paul warns Timothy for this situation. Something that will happen in the end of days. And we depart from preaching the clear truth from scriptures, the following will happen. 2 Timothy 4, chapter, verse 3. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For then the time will come when they, the people in the world, cannot endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and then they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and many shall turn to their fables. If people don't hear the word of God from the people who profess to have the word of God, what does the people on the side of the street have to do? If we don't bring the word and the sound doctrine, they are going to listen to other things. Bad things. Things that are destined to bring them to fall. So if we don't want them to listen to falsehoods, to fables, then it's time for me, for us as a church, to preach the word, the sound word, the truthful word of God. We live in a time that men want to correct scripture. They want to correct the doctrine. They want to correct the faith. Because they say that the word of God laid down in scripture does not have enough power to change. People say that the word uses very hard and difficult words. That the Bible used concepts not being grasped by the people of the year 2012. But we must not despair. We must trust in the word and preach as it is written. Paul had to deal with difficulties in the church of the Galatians. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, I believe, verse 6. Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel, verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There are some even who profess to be Christians who pervert the word of God. And folks, listen, hearken unto this. Remember, you must follow the sound doctrine of the word of God. And then he said, verse 8, but then go we, or an angel from heaven, preach another gospel unto you than which you have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let them be set aside. Let them be removed. Because there is no place for false worship, false doctrine. We need to hear the word, the clear word need to be preached. Verse 9. As we said before, and so I shall not you again, if any man, even if it is your best friend, even if I be the father who baptized you, even if it is the president of the general conference, if somebody preaches another gospel than what is saying and laid down in the word of God, let him be accursed. And then the charge. Verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. There are so many people who want to be popular. In super name, the program where the many teaches how parents should raise their children,
parents who are popular with the kids, teachers who are popular for the kids, they learn nothing, the children. The children might say, well, my father and my mother are so fun, but they're so disciplined, they're so corrective. So at later age, those children say to parents, I had 20 parents, but I didn't learn a thing. I had a funny teacher at my school, but I didn't learn a thing. The most of the time, our teachers we remember in school are those teachers who come into classes and sit down, learn. Those people who we see at school, what a terrible teacher was that. Those are the teachers we remember. Those are the teachers who say, I have good memories of that teacher because they taught me the way. And the same is with the Word of God. Not everything we hear in the first instance we say, oh glory, hallelujah. Sometimes a mirror is put in our face and we look at the mirror and we see our sin-filled self. And brothers and sisters, if we look at our sin-filled self, it's not a happy message. Sometimes we bow our heads and say, Lord, did I do really all those bad things? Am I really that way? Do I really need to change? And then the Lord says, yes, I'm saying this because I love you. In the end, when we see Jesus, do we say to Jesus, oh, what a funny time we had because you taught us the things we want to do? Now we say, Lord, we're grateful that you taught us what to do because you taught us what to do. Now I can be here in heaven with my brothers and sisters and proclaim your praises. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which you have preached of me is not after men, for I received not it from men, neither was taught of it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, look upon the word and use the spirit of prophecy as a guide. Trust in God and His words alone. People can only be reached in this sinful age of earth's history if we preach the word. Brothers and sisters, we need wonderful words of life. We need to hear beautiful words of life. The church needs to hear wonderful words of life. The people in this town need to hear the righteous word of Christ, of joy, of hope, of peace. The people need to hear the word. Do we see Christ and Him crucified? Do we really, really know that Christ was suffered upon the cross for our own transgressions, for our own sins, for our own shortcomings? Do you know that all that we believe is laid down in the Word of God? If it be the sanctuary doctrine, if it is our belief in the state of the dead, that the dead is not yet asleep, is our belief in the seventh day Sabbath, is our belief in the second coming, when we read those words of Scripture, do we see Jesus? Do we see wonderful words of life? If you read the Bible, are we like Jonah and say, well, I have heard the truth. I have heard the wisdom of God. I am in heaven. And well, the people of Nineveh, the people of the hate, the people of Forza, the people of the devil, well, they might have their things, but I have the word. Or do we feel Or better said, do we know that we are charged to go to Nineveh, to go to The Hague, to go to Forbes and tell the word that they need to hear Jesus who is written in the word? Don't be a Jonah. And if we go out and share the wonderful words of life, and we don't see things happening in a way that we would like to see things happen, don't pervert the word of God to people with their itching ears and giving people the things they want to hear. It's easy to stand on a pulpit and tell the things you want to hear. If you want to hear that, if you pay 1 cent into the offering box, you will go to heaven. Oh, that's an easy message. I only have to give 1 cent. But in heart, if you would hear from the pulpit, you have to change your life and to confirm you with the will of God. That's a hard thing to do. But it's a thing you need to hear. I need to hear it. We need to hear it. We need to hear wonderful words of life. The word needed to be preached. You don't need a diploma to preach the word. We need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if we've got that, we speak wonderful words of life. There is a time coming, Revelation says, that the Church of Christ will be unstoppable in preaching the words of life. Unstoppable, unmovable. Because during their life they have remained steadfast. Turn me a last text for this morning to Revelation 18. Where John the Revelator wrote down in Revelation 18 verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye may not partake of her sins, and ye may not receive of her plagues. Brothers and sisters, we have a wonderful task to help our fellow man and ourselves to be saved, to be with Christ. We have been chosen to be a royal nation and royal priesthood, a community of believers, to give people a chance to be saved from harm and to enter the joy of our Lord everlasting in heaven and to receive a new heart. This world doesn't have to be partakers of the sins and receive of our faith. It is wonderful words if people have the opportunity to say, I follow Christ, and because I follow Christ, I don't have to worry about the plagues that are coming down on this world. This world needs people who proclaim Christ, because when the gospel of this kingdom is preached of the whole world, then the end will come. And brothers and sisters, this gospel will only be preached if the believers work in full communion with Christ. And if we all, my dear brothers and sisters, if we all realize that it is now the time to preach the word. Amen.